Many newspapers have gotten diligent about publishing corrections, and as we've noted on this program before, the obituary page of the New York Times publishes quite a few interesting ones. But a correction in Monday's New York Times is extraordinary, even for this punctilious age. It reads as follows. An obituary on January 6, 1993, about William G. McLaughlin, an emeritus professor of history and religion at Brown University, misstated the date and cause of his death. Professor McLaughlin died on December 28, 1992, not on January 4, 1993. The cause was colon cancer, not liver cancer. The article also misstated the location of his World War II military service. It was at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, not in Europe. The Times learned of the errors through a recent email message from a family member. Now, the very idea of a 12-year-old correction piqued our curiosity, and it led us to St. Louis, where Martha Everett is the managing editor of Missouri Life magazine, and she is the daughter of the late William G. McLaughlin. Martha Everett, you sent the email to the Times.
I sent the email because it had been bothering me that there were errors in his obituary for, you know, all these 12, 13 years. And as a journalist myself, and because the New York Times is the newspaper of record, I wanted to make sure that everything was accurate on that. And particularly because my father was a historian, I know that details and dates are very important.
And yet, you waited 12, 13 years to do it.
It had been bothering me all this time, but I suppose, you know, in the first few years when you're caught in the throes of a sudden death, this really wasn't a priority. But one of the things that led me to do this was the recent Terry Schiavo case that was in the news, and I had been actually writing out my living will. And so I was kind of thinking along those lines about death and the importance of someone's life. So I just decided, since I had some free time and mm-hmm. it was at my computer, that I would email the New York Times.
Thoughts of mortality just drove you to send that correction in. How did the Times get so many things wrong way back then?
I don't know where they got the idea that my father was in Europe during World War II. I have no clue where that came from. The cause of death, I think, might have been an error on my family's part when the reporter called. The funny thing is, though, that Charles Strum, who's the obituaries editor at the New York Times, who I worked with on this, was the one who actually pointed out to me that the Times had the date of his death wrong, which none of us in the family had even noticed.
Well, were you met with enthusiasm about this correction straight off, or did you ever get the impression that perhaps there might be some statute of limitations on errors in obituaries?
Well, I worried about that. In my email, I actually said I don't really expect you to make a correction. Certainly, I didn't expect it in print, but I did want them to correct the electronic database for anyone going back to look at those records. But I got an email the very next day. I sent my email on July 10th. On July 11th, I had an email from obituaries editor Charles Strum, and he said right off, thank you for contacting us. We'll be glad to correct the error.
Martha Everett, thank you very much for talking with us about the correction of your father, Professor McLaughlin's obituary from 1993.
Well, thank you.
And as we heard from Martha Everett, her email to the New York Times went to Chuck Strum, who is the obituary editor. And Chuck Strum, January 1993 to July 2005, is that about the longest waiting correction you know of at the Times?
It's the longest one in my experience here, which is 26 years. But... because you asked, I looked up the records, such as they are, mm-hmm. and I found that in July of 1969, we corrected an article written 49 years before.
In 1920?
Correct. January 13th, 1920. Shall I read this to you?
Sure. Why don't you give us some of it anyway?
A summary here would say that on January 13th, 1920, an editorial page feature of the Times dismissed the notion that a rocket could function in a vacuum and commented on the ideas of the rocket pioneer Robert H. Goddard. And then it ends by saying, further investigation and experimentation have confirmed the findings of Isaac Newton, and it is now definitely established that a rocket can function in a vacuum as well as in an atmosphere. The Times regrets the error.
This was published in July of 1969, not coincidentally.
Not at all. It happens that that was the day after Apollo 11 left for the moon.
So 49 years for a correction of...
49 years, yes. But we're willing to do it.
And as for an obituary, 12 years, still pretty close to a record in that department?
As far as I know, it is.
Was there any consideration of just saying, look, you know, there's a statute of limitations here. It's been in the paper for 12 years, so be it.
not really. We made the mistake. We correct the error. And as Ms. Everett knows from our exchange on email, it's both been in the paper and it is now in the Times data bank.
Well, Chuck Strum of the New York Times obituary page, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks a lot, Robert.
And we also spoke with Martha Everett, who is the daughter of William G. McLaughlin, who, for the record, died on December 28th, 1992.